there's nothing else more that I would love to come back and set up a home here on this island. But I know I can't. I know it's, I just can't do it. The water problem is too bad. But here is always, in my heart, has always been home.
This week on the Nature Stories podcast, the bayous of southern Louisiana before Hurricanes Katrina and Gustav. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we feature pieces about the intersection of people and place. Here's Fighting the Water, produced in early 2005 by Melissa Robbins for Homelands Productions.
Terrebonne, I've heard people say it means good land, good earth. It's a French name, Terrebonne.
Curtis Hendon stands on the porch of a weather-beaten church 50 miles south and west of New Orleans in Terrebonne Parish. Hendon looks out at a jumble of crab traps bobbing in 5 feet of water where his father's cattle used to graze.
This property over here used to go 4 miles long, 4 miles wide. They used to have sugar canes, and they had cotton fields here on this island. And now, as you can see, this marsh just done took over.
Île à Jean-Charles, or what's left of it, is tethered to the mainland by a narrow road that disappears regularly with the high tide. It's where the Houma tribe has lived for generations.
I was brought up right over here, and my daddy had a huge garden that was right there. As a kid, we'd go in there when it was season for the corn. We'd wait for the silk to come brown and dark, and we'd steal some of his rolling papers, and we used to go smoke corn silk all day long in the trees out there.
Most of those trees are gone now, killed by the salt water from the encroaching marsh.
We had beautiful trees, and they're not very old trees, but they're already dead. They're just standing there until the ground's going to get soft enough and they just got to drop.
Hendon remembers when the island had 1,500 Houma families.
And now it's down to about 100 families. And it's sad to see every time they had a storm, a lot of the people would leave.
How old is that Oshie? That Oshie is about 6 years old.
Virgil Dardar is among the few Houma who still remain on Île à Jean-Charles. He makes his living fishing oysters, like his father and grandfather before him. Dardar hauls in the heavy clusters by hand and separates them with a hatchet. The work is hard, but he says he can't imagine doing anything else.
My livelihood. I'm good at this. I don't have to put up with nobody. You yourself, you know, you're free.
Like most of his neighbors, Dardar elevated his house to escape the water. Perched on stilts, 13 feet above the ground, his home is safe, at least for now. He wishes he could say the same for his oysters.
The oysters, you got to have fresh and salt water. It's got to be a mixture. If it's too much salt, it'll kill. And if it's too fresh water, it'll kill. So the water's got to be about half and half.
For now, Dardar can still make a living on his oyster boat. But the marsh doesn't filter salt water like it used to. And he worries that soon he'll have to find work on an oil rig or in a factory.
It's like, how can you stop that? We don't, you know, I don't know. So what do you do? Start off from scratch. Go drive 18 wheelers. I guess I don't know.
If we sit back and let things go as they're happening, then our traditional communities will fall apart family by family.
Michael Dardar is the vice principal chief of the United Houma Nation. He sits in a basement room that serves as a tribal gathering place. Every surface is covered with Houma crafts and artifacts, intricately woven palmetto baskets, blowguns carved from elderberry wood, dolls made from Spanish moss. The bayou, Dardar says, has been a blessing for the tribe, but now he worries that his people face the same fate as the land itself.
What remains of our culture, our language, our communities all survive mainly because of our isolation. Now we find ourselves on the little bit of land that we have left as a people, with that land washing away underneath our feet.
Dardar says things would be different if the tribe had an official reservation they could move to. But like dozens of other tribes, the Homa aren't recognized by the federal government. They've been petitioning for federal status since 1984. But every year, the tribe disperses a little more, and it gets harder to make a case for group identity. Their traditional lands are disappearing, and there's no government land set aside for them.
And so whatever solutions there are out there for a united Homa nation is going to have to come from us.
Michael Dardar has been working to purchase a plot of land where the Homa could relocate as a community, build their own reservation. But it hasn't been easy to find a place the tribe can afford. And not everyone is in favor of the plan. Some want to relocate. Others, like fisherman Theo Chasson, vow to remain until the water takes everything. Wielding an electric fillet knife on a batch of speckled trout, Chasson is resolute.
Look at this water right here. Look at this water right here. Look how beautiful it is out here. And they want us to leave from here. Ain't no way.
Chasson's neighbor, Chris Brunet, agrees.
You know, if I let go of this, then where can I say I have a beginning? This is what makes me. This is what makes my experience, you know, is this little island right here.
Curtis Hendon, who watched his father's grazing lands turn to marsh, says he understands.
People that live here the government had been preaching for quite some time now to move, to relocate the people. It's just that when you're born and raised here and you raised your family here, it's not that easy to just pack up and leave.
But Hendon did leave. Fed up with fighting the water, he moved with his wife and two sons to Raceland, 20 miles north on higher ground. He makes his living in the city now, customizing vans and motorcycles.
There's nothing else more that I would love to come back and set up a home here on this island. But I know I can't. I know it's... I just can't do it. The water problem is too bad. But here is always... In my heart, it's always been home.
Hendon still owns the title to his property on Isla Jean-Charles, though he's lost much of it to the water. He thinks he could get $50,000 for what's left, but he doesn't have the heart to let it go.
Right now, I still have time to sell it. I feel I've already turned my back on my people because they're still fighting that water.
Hendon knows he's running out of time. Soon there won't be any land left to sell. And if the Homa remain until the water drives them off one by one, there won't be any community left to save.
Because I still believe that the island is going to go under. And probably I'll see that in my time.
Curtis Hendon can't move back, but he finds he can't move forward either. And so for now, like the oak trees at the edge of his property, Hendon and the Homa hold on tight to less and less ground.
That's Melissa Robbins in the Louisiana Bayou in 2005. On that same trip, Melissa also interviewed wetlands activist Kerry Sampe. Here's what he had to say just months before Hurricane Katrina hit the region.
If you get a hurricane, I mean, next year this place could be wiped out. It's just a matter of time before we get a direct hit. I mean, you look at a map and you will see, you look at a map that shows the tracks of hurricanes over the recorded history, and you'll see Louisiana has received direct hits numerous times. We just have not experienced a serious hurricane within the last 10 years. We have had over 40 years of disappearing coasts, and so we've lost that storm surge buffering system that is afforded by vast acres of wetlands. And so now we have nothing to hold that storm surge back. We're talking about walls of water that are pushed in the front of a hurricane, 20-foot walls of water. And by the time they reach our communities, they're knocked down to a manageable size, maybe 6 feet, 7 feet. Now there's just nothing to hold them back. And so the damage would be unbelievable. And New Orleans, the city of New Orleans, has been protected by those wetlands. now those wetlands are gone. And so should it be overtopped with storm surge of water going to Lake Pontchartrain and would overtop the levees, would literally could fill up New Orleans with 20 feet of water. And so it's just a matter of time. It's not if we're going to get a hurricane. We know we get hurricanes. It's just when.
The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. You can hear more pieces like these at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week.